listening to the Cook and Bartender Podcast with hosts Adam and Tiny, talking everything you want to know about the hospitality industry. And now on with our show.
Well, we're back.
Hey, everybody.
Been a little bit, but we've been busy. This weekend's going to be another big one. Oh, how you doing, by the way?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm a little tired right now, but I don't know why.
Well, it's the end of the season. We're about to get our ass kicked in the last hurrah.
The last hurrah.
But before we get into that, let's cheers.
Cheers.
Boom, boom. You got the Jim Beam going?
I don't know what else to drink.
I know. That's you.
I'm a one. If I was a domesticated animal, I'd be the one. I'd be like a parrot, you know, have one male, one mother, one whatever is your life. You're one thing. Whatever it is.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I'll say I'm right.
I don't know.
You'd be a drunken parrot with Jim Beam.
That's right. Saying.
All right, cool.
With one owner.
But how you been, man?
Doing good.
You went camping?
I went camping last weekend. And it was fun because I went to a town that I used to live in, and I was a tourist because I didn't really know anybody there. I walked into one place and had dinner one night, and like nobody, I didn't know, recognize one thing. People working there didn't know me, and I'm going, this is nice.
Yeah, isn't it weird? You go back to a town you live for a long time, and you've been out long enough where you're now.
Yep.
You don't have to worry about running.
And then pretty soon I'm sitting there, I got my food, and Austin, the lady goes like, hey, Tiny, how you doing? Were you back? And I'm going, oh, hey, what's going on? Nice to see you.
Hey, Ralph.
Yeah. Hey, Ralph, how you doing? Clocking in?
Then it's awkward as shit.
Yep. But it was fun.
But it was kind of nice to get away.
It was good.
Especially living like where we live, I can't go anywhere without seeing someone. I went to the tiny little podunk gas station today, and sure enough, I saw a guest that comes frequent on my establishment. Like, I can't even get a pack of cigarettes,
imagine, right?
In the middle of nowhere, and I just always run into somebody, so it's so nice to get away and just like check out.
I wanted to ask the bartender some stupid questions, but I'm like, no, I'm not going to be that person.
Thank you. As a bartender, I say thank you.
I was like,
don't be that person.
Is that Canada over there?
Is that a lake?
Is that a lake?
Yeah, you're on a lake resort.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Is that water out there? Yes, you are.
How deep is the water? Is there a lot of water out there?
I had someone last week that kept doing that. Is that water? How deep is the lake? I'm like, it's 16,000 acres. Like, it depends where you're at.
Well, but how deep is the whole lake?
What does that mean? What does that mean?
On average, it's from 1 inch to 16 feet.
All the way down to 86 feet, depending on where you're at.
That's right.
It's a flowage. It's five lakes that were flooded in 1920. Why did they flood it in 1920 and not 1930? People are weird.
That's right. But then, the funny thing is, I woke up this morning, and as a breakfast person I am, I was hungry for breakfast, which doesn't happen very often.
A breakfast cook going out for breakfast?
I know. You don't hear that very often. So I packed my camper up. Got on the road, and I'm like, oh, I know what I'm hungry for. This place should have it. And it's just a little hole in the wall, and it usually has pretty good food. But I stopped there, walked in, and I had to wash my hands because they were kind of dirty. So I put my phone and stuff down on the table, and lady said, oh, I want to see that one person. So she brought me water on the menu. I washed my hands, came back, sat down. And she's like, would you like anything else to drink, and what do you want to eat? And I'm like, I'll have coffee, and I'll have this. All right. So there was a few people in there that already ate there. I left. Four more people came in. They sat down. They were their food. I'm sitting there, do-do-do-do-do. I got my food, and I looked at it. I'm like, oh, cool. And I eat it, and it was flavorless. I'm like, going, it used to be good. I mean, decent. I know they use rehydrated hash browns. I know they use cheaper sausages. I know all this. And that's why I went there. But the hash browns had no flavor, which is weird. Like, they didn't even taste like potatoes.
No salt, nothing.
Nothing, just like blah. Not even a butter flavor. They're not even cheap imitation butter flavor, you know? Whatever. So I'm like, am I being grumpy? So I'm tasting it. I'm like, whatever. So I'm eating it. And the waitress didn't even come over and ask me how it was. She didn't come over and see if I needed anything more. She was on her phone. And then these two old ladies walked in. They sat down. She brought them a menu and water. And she's still on her phone. And then she was doing something else. And then old lady got up and was like, are you going to take an order? And she's like, oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah. So she grabbed her notepad and walked over there. And she's like, all right, what do you want? And she took the order and walked away. And I'm going, she didn't say sorry, or I was on the phone because of my kid, or...
Right.
Well, I mean, it's just like... And then she never even came back. I shouldn't be ranting about it, but it's just like, when there's seven people in our total, one person's eating, four people almost got their meat and food, and two people haven't even got fed yet, and there's two waitresses.
Seven people in the whole place.
Yeah, and I'm like going, am I now my standards are too high now, or is it me, or is it...
No, I don't think it's you. I think it's a real thing, like... Would you go back to that place if you were a first timer there?
First timer, no, I would never go back there because it gave me a one. The food was bad. Two, the service was horrible.
So you have two ways to win over a customer.
Yeah.
It could be two for two. You could have great food and great service.
Yeah.
Boom. People are coming back.
Next time, one or the other.
Even if they're a tourist, but next time in the area, they're going to be like, I remember that spot. But you could still win a customer back with one of the two.
Yeah, if you have good food, crappy service, kind of like at my place, crappy service, good food.
Yep. Worse than the area. Northern Wisconsin, watch out. You want the worst service, come Tiny's. Just kidding. He's actually got good service. And he always has a smile. Yeah. But long short is like, you know, I've gone to places where it's like, man, the food's mediocre at best. But holy shit, this crew was awesome. Everyone was smiling. Like, the place was bouncing. And, like, you can feel the energy in the room. Like, happy employees. And you're like, cool, I'm going to give it a shot. Maybe it was off day in the kitchen.
Off day in the kitchen. Maybe the witch's had an off day. Yeah. Who knows why she was on her cell phone? Was her kid didn't know what to eat, or he fell down and he broke his leg or something?
It could have been medical. It could have been a rep on the phone. Yeah. Could have been something. But at least acknowledge the guest. Like, hey, I was on the phone because of this. You know? Even if you half-ass
lie to him.
I've come out of the back room when my bar's been empty for an hour. And I may or may not have been doing work stuff, but like looking at my phone. But when I walk out and I see that I didn't realize that one person is at the end of the bar walked in because I've been like, it's been a ghost town for 2 hours. At least I'll come up with something quick. Like, hey, sorry, dude. Like, last minute order, bacon shortage, or my kids needs a new wheelchair. I don't even have kids.
Yeah, right.
You know, and then you give them the best service, so because you feel bad.
Yeah.
Like, you just, and then all of a sudden it's like, how's your day? How's this? Fishing? Are you just up on vacation? And like, you feel bad because you neglected them for a minute because we are human and we get caught up in
just weird things. It just catches things.
But once you realize, holy shit, I totally neglected this person and I feel really guilty now. Then you just give them the killer service.
Right.
You ask them, like, how are your kids? Like, you don't know if he has kids. You know, like, you just go in. You go in hard and, like, make sure that guest is cool. So, like, you can have shitty food and great service. Someone will come back.
Yep.
You can have shitty service, but the food is amazing. They'll come back. But if you're 0 for 2...
This was over 5. I mean, everything was like, everything. She didn't even, I even set my food aside and I was done, put a napkin on it, like, sat there, had another cup of coffee.
You put the napkin on the plate?
Yeah. Like, it's done. Obviously, I'm done. Tapped out.
Yeah.
It was a lot of food, so I mean, I didn't eat it all. So I'm like, I'm tapped out. Here's a napkin. Here's the whole sign. I'm not eating anymore. And I saw it in the corner of my eye. She just looked at me and walked away and walked back in the kitchen. I'm going, okay. I'm like, now you're... And it hurt me to tip this person because she was just so shitty, but I still gave her the standard amount of tip that I always do because that's just who I am.
And like, you're in the industry, you understand. You
know, yeah, and I'm like, maybe it was her bad day, whatever, and then you never know what happened, or she's tired, or who knows. But
yeah, someone in the industry, we always had a perspective.
Yeah, there's
we know that even ourselves are off once in a while. Like, we're human. But
I still gave her the standard tip. And I'm like,
you're 0 for 5.
And there was two cooks in the back, and I'm like going, oh, there's two cooks in the back. And my food still sucked. Like,
there's
seven people in the dining room.
And they're not all eating at the same time, even.
Like, not at all.
Staggered. So one or two people have to be cooked for at a time. Yeah, you could get 3 strikes and you're out, but if you get 5 strikes, that's...
And I might never go back there by myself, but if some of my friends are out there where this restaurant is, they want to go back there really, really bad, I probably would try it one more time just because...
But it's not going to be your destination
spot. No, it's not going to be my destination spot. I'll probably never say, I want to go there again.
Yeah. And that's an interesting thing you say, because I've been thinking about this weird thing, which is looking back at, like, my past 6 years where I work and all the other places and, like, all the people that I've worked with. And mistakes. There's good mistakes and there's bad mistakes.
And we all do.
There's fatal mistakes in the restaurant business, the bar and restaurant business, and then there's mistakes that are curable. You can fuck up a food order.
Which I have.
Right.
And I'm not going to say no on that
exactly. One. And I have come a drink order, or, you know, you might fuck up a reservation. Maybe you forgot this group of 30 was coming in today. It was supposed to be tomorrow, or your seating was off, or whatever. You just made the wrong drinks for them. They wanted this away. There's a lot of things that are where we all are human. We make mistakes. But you can always retain a guest with good service.
And I have actually lied to guests before. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry because of this. Why? Because I want to retain them, keep them there, or not keep them there, but have them come back.
Yeah, but good service and good like instincts
can
retain a guest. Those are the curable mistakes. Those are the Band-Aid wounds.
Yeah.
They will come back. Yeah, their sandwich is messed up, or we didn't have enough seats, whatever it might be. There's a whole host of things in this industry. Yep. And those are curable with a smile, an explanation, good service, spoiling them, giving them the greatest thing ever. There's a random phone.
That's my house phone. I forgot to turn it off.
Oh, Lord. Who has a house
phone? Well, business.
Gotcha.
My business phone.
But anyways, so those are fixable. And in this industry, you have to be able to like think on the fly, make them happy. We can do that. There are also fatal, I call them the fatal flying guillotine mistakes where they're not coming back. And those are the ones that are personal. Like, your hostess or your waiter, or your bartender, you roll your eyes at a customer. As much as you're like, you're an idiot, or like, oh, this is so frustrating, like in that moment.
Yep.
You got to keep your composure. But the minute you roll your eyes, the minute you say the wrong thing because you're frustrated, you had a long day, a bad day, maybe a whole day was like rough customers. But the minute you do a gesture that offends them, I don't care how good the food is, how good the service is, you lost them.
They're gone.
Right, because you offended them.
And the sad part is like they're going to go and tell somebody else too.
And then that's it.
And you're like, oh my God, and now they're going to call. A lot of people... And I try to tell this to a lot of people, like, if you have bad service once or bad food once, come back. Most people know they'll come back to whatever restaurant and give it a second try.
Yep.
Because you don't know. It could have been that bad day for the cook. Could have been a little off.
But see, we're in the industry, so we see a lot of, like, you know, we have that perspective.
We've had that. But,
where you know, we've had off days as a cook. We've had off days as a bartender. We've had off days as a server.
Or the equipment had an off day. Yeah. The equipments have off days, too.
Yeah, even on a podcast, the equipment has an off day once in a while.
Right?
But long short is that most guests, if they haven't worked in the business, like, they don't care. They're not saying this service was poor, that server rolled their eyes at me when I asked a silly question about the sandwich on the menu.
Yep.
A triple bacon cheeseburger, but I don't eat bacon, I don't eat cheese, and I don't like bread. And actually, you want a beef head. In your head, you're rolling your eyes. Like, yep. What is wrong with you? But we get it, so we have a lot more tolerance to bad service.
Yep.
Someone called off. Someone's fucking sick. Someone worked 18 hours, 4 days in a row.
Or they found out their grandma just died.
But yet they're still in the kitchen cooking, but they're trying to get through it. You know what I mean? Like, we've been in the business, so we understand it. The average guest doesn't.
No. Or the person's never ever worked in the restaurant doesn't.
Yeah. So Susie Q and Johnny Poo come in from the golf club, and they're sitting down. Like, they never worked in the industry. So they're not going to say, I wonder if he's had a bad day.
Nope.
That bartender was grumpy. That cook, he's slamming shit around in the back room. That server rolled their eyes at me. That's all they're noticing. They don't care. You lost them.
They're gone.
And those are the fatal flying guillotine moves where you lost the customer. In this industry, our goal is to retain customers. Our goal is to keep them coming back.
And have them bring their friends with.
Yeah. And even if they're once and done, like in a tourist thing, they're going to come back sometime in their life to this area if they loved it.
But I had that happen this last week. They're like, we were here your first year. The food was very great. Came back 2-3 years later. Like, oh my God, your food is just as great. Blah, blah.
Right.
They're like, I can't believe.
And even if they're once and done.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not retaining them in a tourist area like as repeat every week customers, but guess what? They're also going to probably pop a review online.
Yep. So the whole review things nowadays.
Those fatal blows, I call them, like Mortal Kombat. Finish him. Those are the moves you can't do. And that's where the thick skin comes in talked about, where we always have to have armor of happiness on.
When you walk into our job as a waiter or a cook or whatever you are, when you come in, whatever's happened to you in the outside world, drop it. Leave outside, and bring him in, put your permanent grin on, and just do your job.
And it's
hard to do, but
it's hard to do. And we where I work now and like everywhere, you walk in that once you walk out of the back room into the we call it the show. I don't care if your grandma just died. If you're at work, you come in and hide it. But it is hard.
It's hard.
I lost my best friend last year, and I hit late May, like a month into the season. We got into banana season. I struggled every day with coming in, like and having to put that show on, that smile on. It's tough. Life happens. That's one thing about this business, too, that a lot of people don't understand. Like, our business is, you got to put that smile on.
You got to bend over backwards and kiss somebody's ass and just be nice to them.
Yeah. If you're in a cubicle and you're having a sad day,
yeah,
and you're behind a computer, you're in your office, and you're having a sad day, and you look sad, and you feel sad, or you're sick, nobody knows.
No, because you're by yourself.
But in this business, you got to throw it in. You got to keep rolling with that punches. The guests expect that.
Yep.
Sometimes too much. Sometimes too much, but that's our business. That's what we do. And showing that stuff, those are those mistakes. Like the guest doesn't need, especially new ones, you know, they walk into your place. It's got to be the best experience of their life. That's what they're there for.
Or they come to my place and I just tell them I'm in a bad mood. Get used to it. Why are you in a bad mood? It's Sunday. I hate Sundays.
Sunday is not fun day for me.
No, not when I'm working. They're like, oh, that's kind of funny.
Right. You're honest. You know, you're up front. But on the long short, yeah, I mean, there's bad mistakes and good mistakes, but the ability to, like your breakfast experience, if one of those servers would have just walked up to you and said, how was your food? How was your day?
Yeah, something.
You wouldn't have left there upset. You would have said, the food was mediocre at best, kind of shitty hash browns, but the lady was really nice.
Yep. She didn't acknowledge me just once.
But they were 0-2. They lost on the service and the food.
Yep.
Yeah, so don't lose on
over-2. And I knew the food wasn't going to be the best, but it was always usually really good.
Yeah.
For cheap food. You know, it wasn't like it's an inexpensive food, so it's going to be cheap food. I know that. I go there for that.
But you were just looking for how you doing.
Yeah.
How's your food? How's your day?
And the waitress just like, nothing.
Just.
I walked up and she looked at me and I had my money in my hand and she's like, Oh, walked around. That's $12 and whatever cents, whatever it was. I don't remember the price, but
I wonder if that's like sometimes too, like you get to these places, especially in tourist towns where there is up and down and slow seasons, where you like you look at the server or the cook, you just see in their eyes, they're like so rote and just like, ugh, I've been here too long. I don't care anymore.
Yep.
You know.
I think this lady just didn't care at all.
Yeah. But that happens. Some people are in this industry, they just want the tips, they don't want to do anything. Yep.
The other waitress, she looked at me once, she just walked away. I'm like, she didn't pick the plate up. I'm like, going, all right.
You could have been one of those total D-bags and just like banged your coffee cup.
I could
have. I need service. Yes.
But I didn't. Whatever.
Thank you for not doing that. Because those people never get drinks at a bar. If you bang your glass on the bar, you're going to be the last served.
It's true.
Pro tips. If you whistle at a bartender, you're not getting a drink soon. Pro tips.
You need to put your $50 bill in your mouth and say, who do I have to fuck to get money out here? Drink out here, you're not going to serve either. So.
Pro tips.
No.
We should just do an episode on pro tips.
Pro tips. This is how you're not going to get served.
Next episode, how to make people better customers. But I feel like we're whining about, sometimes I feel like we complain about the industry, but I think we're just.
We probably are complaining about the industry, but.
But the reality is we love it, and the people who love it, so like I go to work and I don't care.
I just want to make it better.
Yeah.
So I'm not really whining.
I break my leg and I get shot. My dog dies. I'm still going to work, and in front of the customer, I'm going to do my best to put the smile on.
Yeah.
And that's because I love the business.
Man.
And you love the business. So sometimes we sound like we're complaining, I think. Actually, somebody told me that. Sounds like you guys complain a lot on your podcast. I think it's not complaining. It's just reality of the passion of the business.
The passion of the business that we have that the other people do not have, then we try to
educate.
Because if you come and say, oh, sorry, you know, the kitchen's. I had waitresses like, oh, I fucked this up. And I said, what'd you tell them? Oh, the kitchen's behind or the kitchen fucked it up. I said, I know. Because the waitresses sometimes don't even take their own responsibility, which is fine on me. I mean, I'll take the broad shoulder of, you know.
It is easy to say.
Yeah, because they're looking for the tip. So they're not going to say, I fucked up.
Right.
But sometimes if the waitress told me, they fucked up, I'm going, yeah. That's pretty cool. Here is an extra $5.
Right.
Or whatever, you know, it's extra money for you because you acknowledge that you fucked. It's not always the kitchen's fault.
It's easy to blame the kitchen, though.
It is.
If you're front of the house, you could say, oh, man, I wrote the ticket right. It must have been them.
Right.
I don't do that. It's funny because I'll take orders, and sometimes it's a big group or whatever, and they're confusing. And they want all these different stuff, and could be anyone cooking. And then all of a sudden, like, I run the food out, and I'm like, shit. They didn't want the mushroom Swiss. They wanted a mushroom and pepper jack with onions, but I totally got lost in the confusion. But I actually am one of those people that will own up to it. Like, I effed up.
I did it this weekend. Sorry. And then I don't know what happened. My dyslexia kicked in or something. And I read the ticket 5 times, and it was a burrito, but I read it as a classic. Classic Benedict. So I made it Classic Benedict. She was like, where's the burrito? I said, what burrito? She was on the ticket. I said, what ticket? And I said, that one. And she looks, says burrito. I'm like, going. Oh, Fardigan, it does say burrito. Does he want that or does he want the burrito? She looked at it and went, I was like, he fucked up. She said, I don't want the burrito. I'm like, hey, no problem. So I quickly made the burrito for him, but I was like, no, I'll give it to you for free if you want to eat it.
Yeah, sometimes that happens. Yeah. You know, someone wanted a Manhattan, I made an old fashioned.
You're in Wisconsin. There's no such thing as a Manhattan. Just kidding, there is.
Actually, you're correct. A Wisconsin Manhattan, for all you know, is actually an old fashioned.
That's right.
It's very larger and more bubbly Manhattan.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Brandy.
I can deal it.
It's not disgusting. Bourbon. I actually say it's good, but it's good. It's sweet. It's a hard liquor made of.
Well, you're a vodka person, so.
I like vodka. I do enjoy a good whiskey from time to time. But brandy is a. Maybe because I didn't grow up in Wisconsin.
Yep.
Like, I lived in, 8 states. Nobody talked about brandy. Nobody
knew brandy.
It's a Wisconsin thing.
It's a Wisconsin thing. Well, that's like corp. Oh, here we go. We're circling. We're squirreling. So, yeah, we're squirreling. But my friend went to the Corbell factory, and they found out he was from Wisconsin. They said, do you want to hear a fun fact? He's like, sure, what is it? He's like, 75% of all Corbell brandy they make for the whole entire world goes to Wisconsin.
Yep.
So 25% of Corbell only goes around the world. 75% of the all goes to Wisconsin.
Yep. And I heard a weird fact, and I don't know if it's true. A coworker of mine told me that Corbell got big, and brandy got big in Wisconsin. There was the World's Fair in Chicago in the, I don't know, early 1900s.
Okay.
But during that time, apparently there was a grape shortage in France, so there was supposed to be a bunch of wine coming into the World's Fair.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the World's Fair, all the countries.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was a grape shortage, so there wasn't a lot of wine. So brandy was the grape product of things. So that's where Korbel got big. They like blew up and like everybody learned how to pop brandy because there was not a wine in the world's fair, I guess. I don't know. This is allegedly.
I like this story. I'm going to stick with it.
I'm running with it. It's cool.
I'm giving that a top 2%.
And a lot of people from Wisconsin went to Chicago where the World's Fair was, got turned on to brandy.
Yeah.
And Korbel was the big vendor there because there was no wine. So that's why Korbel, Wisconsin, Northern Illinois, that's where it's from.
That's where it's from.
I don't know if it's true or not.
I'm going with it.
Yeah. Conspiracy theory podcast.
Korbel. Maybe we should start one.
We should, actually.
This is why Wally is so good. I don't know why.
We're squirreling.
We're squirreling.
I love it.
Well, yeah, it must mean we're getting close to the end, but maybe not. I don't know.
How many minutes we at?
24.
Yeah, that's probably good. Filter it down to 17. we'll be perfect.
But honestly, I mean, I go to a lot of restaurants just for the food, not really for the service. I don't really need good service, but I need to have the food good. I mean, the service is always a plus.
As food people.
It's food person.
You're a food person. You've been a chef your whole life.
Yep.
Yes, the food has to be good. But I have been to mediocre places. I'm not terrible. Like, if the food sucks, I'm not going.
Yeah.
But I've had, like, this a half-ass burger. But, man, that vibe, the joint is bumping, you know. Like, there's a really cool place in Uptown Minneapolis that I go. Like, the food's not great. It's, like, fried food. And I will go there every time I'm in Minneapolis because the fucking staff is amazing.
Right.
And their energy is so high. And maybe me being more front of the house, like, that thrills me. I'll tip them good, but like they always have a conversation. They're always engaging as shit. And you look at the crowd. I always look at the front of the house staff. If they're all smiling and they're all like laughing and like you could tell like they're having a fun
enjoying
day.
Life.
They're enjoying life. They're enjoying where they work. It means they work for good people. They could be producing good food, but the energy of the room makes my energy better. My steak might be mediocre, whatever. My sandwich might be edible, good, but not 5-star review. But when that room's bumping and everybody's happy and they're, like, on top of your shit, like, hey, how are you doing? What's your day like? Boom, boom, boom. And you see the server smiling. To me, as a front-of-the-house cat, that lights my ass up. And I will go back even for
I love watching, like, the front-of-the-house people when they're excited and fun, enjoying life.
Yeah.
Like, they love what they do. But then when you go, and the food's not the best. And maybe I have a higher standard on food than most people do. But, I mean, I do like eating at a lot of crappy places because you like the good or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is only my personal opinion. Don't take anything wrong. I worked with this really great chef. He was top-notch. I learned tons and tons of stuff from him, you know, cooking. But he just loved Taco Bell. Like, he was like, I'm going out and Taco Bell. I got done work. But, you know, instead of going, oh, I'm going to have this, you know, this beautiful lamb dish here. And he goes, no, I don't want that. I don't go to Taco Bell. I don't know, I'm hungry for whatever. And I'm like, ew. Because I don't like Taco Bell unless I'm drunk at 2:00 in the morning. Yes, and I like it. But honestly, yuck. That's only my personal opinion, but we all have our vices on what you like and what you don't like.
We do. Some people don't like White Castle and do anything for it.
Right? See?
But Taco Bell, I have a coworker that literally, he gets in these weird cravings for Taco Bell. He drives 2 hours to Duluth just to get Taco Bell and then goes back, eats Taco Bell and goes to bed. That was his day.
Yeah.
He just needed that Taco Bell today.
It's just so weird.
But it is weird. But yeah, like good food and good service. A great place has both. One can fall off. And you can get a repeat customer.
Yep.
But you can't have both fall off.
Nope. Mine fell off both today.
That's the long short of the story. There's fatal flying guillotine. You'll never get a guest back. And then there's ways to work around it.
Mine was a centipede and there was no legs today. Gone.
Good analogy.
It was frying in the Texas sun.
Centipede with no legs.
Yep.
If you can open a restaurant, don't be the centipede.
Don't be the centipede with no legs, because it's not going to work.
At least a few legs have to go.
Yeah. There has to be half of them to make it work. So
we're dorks.
And we're squirreling.
Yes, we are.
All right. Well, this is fun.
You got to fucking fly swatter. You're about to kill somebody.
No, there's a fly, and there's two flies in here.
It's been bothering you for this whole podcast.
It is. And he comes around. So I said, you know what? I'm going to pick up this fly swatter and use it. And the guy disappeared.
I know, but you've been waving that fly swatter at me the whole time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm going to get smacked.
I don't want to put it in my bag.
Podcast isn't good, I'm going to hit you. Whap.
Fuck, never.
Actually, this is why I do the podcast.
You are my bartender. I never hit a bartender.
That's true. And I secretly, allegedly, may have an Italian beef sandwich hidden for you. So if you come out to help us with our kitchen consultation for a day.
A drink and a sandwich? Sold. Well,
we're giving you a bottle of Jim Beam.
Don't tell that. People, they don't need to know that.
Actually, yes. Well, Any other consultants, we can offer you more. He's easily bribable. We might have an Italian beef sandwich, maybe.
I'm easy, I say. I'm sorry. Done deal. I'm there.
All right, sweet.
All right. Well, this has been great. I hope you all like it. And we've done 21 topics. 22. This is 22 second. 23. I don't know.
Hey, thank you, community. We got 2,000. We got 2,000 listens.
Yep, that's pretty good. In 20,
we hit 1,000 listens in May, and that was 3 months into our adventure. And 3 months later, we're at 2,000.
Yep.
We appreciate it. We love you all. Community.
Spread us like peanut butter. Make us stick.
Make us stick. And keep tuning in.
Tell us if you like us or not. You know, we got a Facebook page. We have Instagram page.
Gmail.
Email us. Say if you like.
Cookabartender@ Gmail. Suggestions for topics. Awesome. We love those.
Because, you know, we can't keep on thinking. We're old.
You're old.
Or just a year old.
I'm oldish. You're old. I'm oldish.
I'm going through midlife crisis.
As am I.
Nice. All right. On to this.
But long short, thanks, community. We love you.
Sorry, Adam. Didn't mean to wave that in front of you again.
Yeah, don't do that.
My bad. All right. Well, into this part, we're out of here. Have fun. Bye.
Recorded at the world headquarters of the Cook and Bartender with Adam and Tiny.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Like, comment, follow, spread the word. We appreciate it. cookandbartender@gmail.com, cookandbartender on Facebook, or cookbartender@ Instagram. Thank you.